Makeba McCreary joined the MFA during its racial reckoning. She's leaving now to run a $30 million fund raised by local leaders of color during the whole nation's racial reckoning. McCreary finishes as chief of learning and community engagement at the Museum of Fine Arts this week and is the incoming president of the New Commonwealth Racial Equity and Social Justice Fund. The fund was founded in June of 2020 by a coalition of Black and Brown business and community leaders in Massachusetts. They envisioned a philanthropy that explicitly supports nonprofits fighting systemic racism and that have leaders of color. Makeba McCreary joins us now. Makeba, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Makeba, this is big. This is arguably an entirely new era for leadership of color in Boston. And I wonder what it means to you to be the first to run a fund that is exclusively dedicated in this way and raised by the Black and Brown leaders of our community.
You know, Tiziana, it just feels right. Like it feels like it's the exact right thing to do at this moment. And I can't really imagine myself doing anything differently. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's sort of like the stars aligned and my soul sort of said, this is exactly the path that you need to be taking.
It does. I do understand that. And I wonder, I found myself thinking as you were saying that, okay, so when you heard about the fund, back last summer, summer of 2020, were you like, oh, that's got to be me. I got to do that.
I think I was so taken with how proud I was of all of these colleagues of mine, you know, across the city who figured it out. Like they actually put their finger right on it and said, we have to do this together. That's how this gets solved for. All of us have been working on these issues independently in lots of different forums, personally, professionally, but to come together in one room in one space and say, we need to raise some real money, we need to be identifying some real leadership, and we need to make sure that we are calling out unapologetically that there are Black and Brown leaders across this Commonwealth who are solving this problem. They are doing it, but they need more financial and probably also thought partnership and other resources to get it done.
Sometimes there is a tension between righting the wrongs of the past and building the future that we want to see. And that's probably as true as anywhere else when it comes to racial justice, social equity, making these investments. It's a tension. I'm white, but I know that it is a tension that Black and Brown leaders have disproportionately been tasked with resolving. How do you think about that tension? How do you balance that tension?
It might be where I am in my own personal path at this moment, but I have less interest in righting wrongs. I have much more interest in investing in the solutions that are right in front of us that we know work, that we know will make sure that there is equitable access to high quality education, that healthcare is available, and that there are not food deserts only in Black and Brown communities, that there are opportunities for people to enter the workforce and not just, you know, live check to check, but actually thrive and be their own creatives. So that's what I want to be a part of. And that's what I think that the New Commonwealth Fund's real core is at the core of making an impact is moving forward and talking about what the asset model is for Black and Brown folks out here.
And what is that asset model?
Well, we certainly know how to survive. We know how to survive in institutions and in communities, in cities, in states where we are not prioritized, where our health and wellness is not lifted up as a priority. And I don't mean that just from a physical health and wellness. I mean also spiritually and emotionally. And we've just lived through, you know, 12, 18 months where that was just exacerbated because there was, it just became, I think, so clear that folks who are already struggling were just blown away by this pandemic. And if you had the privilege of even being able to walk to a grocery store or walk to a green space and not be surrounded by 15 to 20 other people, you actually had a shot at staying healthy. And so hard to go backwards from there. I think the covers have been lifted, and it's just a really, it's impossible for us to not acknowledge the fact that racism and bias and really just exclusion from being able to prosper is no longer acceptable. And we have ways to address that. We have 19, now 20. I'd like to count myself as one of them. People who have come together and said, you know, we're going to lock arms and we're going to get this done together.
I think about that number, I think 19 or 20. And then I think about the larger philanthropic landscape in the city. So you've got, you know, you've got the Boston Foundation and you've got the Barr Foundation. Are they locking arms with you too? Are you needing to lead and they're going to have to follow? I mean, you and I first met each other when I was also in philanthropy, and we know how hard it is to make investments that center communities of color and leaders of color.
What I can tell you is that the first one or two phone calls I got were from both of those foundations' leaders, and the statement was, we're here to be right next to you as you move forward, and we're really, really excited for what's to come. You know, I'm not naive. There are lots of other stakeholders involved in the other foundations across the city, and there's a lot of legacy that they themselves have to sort through and decide how they might rearrange their priorities. But I do feel supported, and I do feel like there should absolutely be an opportunity for shared leadership. I'm happy to follow, but I also know that there will be moments when New Commonwealth Fund will be able to get out in front of this in a way that they may not be able to. And I hope that they will be ready to walk right next to us as well.
Tell us about some organizations in the city that you're really excited about, that you think are the, you said a little earlier in our conversation, we know what some of these solutions are. So who are some of the vibrant organizations in our community that are giving out, that's not at all the right word, that are working on the kinds of solutions you're talking about?
So what I will talk about is the kinds of work that's happening. I'm going to stay away from the actual organizations because that's a slippery slope.
Because you're a human starting gun? Okay, but the models. Let's talk about the models, right? The models that are exciting. Yeah.
I think for sure models that do identify that if an organization is serving a specific community, that leadership reflects that community, that they are close to it, they are proximal. I think that there's a lot of really small groups of folks, like I guess we want to call them grassroots. I'm not sure how I feel about that term anymore, but folks who are really close to the ground, who are doing the work day to day, the very forward facing work, and they may not be doing it at the scale that shows up for the media and or for our philanthropies, but they absolutely are talking and touching the needs of the people that they are there to serve very, very intimately. And I think that they should not be overlooked. And then I think that there's a really great opportunity for us to look to models from other sectors that might be really applicable and transfer some solutions to things that we haven't been able to unravel yet. And so I don't actually know exactly what those might be, but I have to imagine that, you know, if we look to the tech sector, if we look to but I don't know, is there something that folks who are working on clean energy, you know, could teach us about how you address an issue that feels really just stubborn and unable to be solved for. So I look forward to all sort of three different ways of approaching this work.
I'm thinking a lot about Janae Osterholt's writings on Black joy for the Boston Globe. And this is a heavy time. You are taking on big systemic issues in this new role. That work can be done joyfully, but I also wonder, are there other ways that you want to invest in joy as well?
Oh, that's such a great question. I first But definitely, let's give Janae a shout out. She has carried us through a tide of moments over through the pandemic. And I just visualized right now the graphic that goes with her stories. You know, we, as a person of color, as a Black woman, these issues, that they aren't so huge. Like, they are every day. They are very familiar. So it's hard for me to think about how you take on something that is so huge, without acknowledging that Black and brown folks every day are dealing with racism in all parts of their world. And they must stay joyful, or my goodness, we wouldn't show up anymore. So I think there's joy in, you know, being able to know that you can do your small part, that you can do a larger part. There's also just joy in me seeing my son, you know, happy. He's got a job at a veterinarian this summer. There's joy in me walking through the museum on my final days and seeing little kids, you know, running around and looking at Equa Holmes' art on the wall, a Roxbury Black female artist who is taking up two galleries right now. And then certainly there's joy in thinking about the opportunity to raise another $70 million to get to 100 million, right? So that we can really think about across the Commonwealth how to lift up the leaders that are, again, at all sorts of altitudes, addressing racism, addressing oppression, and also thinking about how to make sure our young people and our families the rest of us are thriving and are going to be successful.
We're talking with Makeba McCreary, the president of the New Commonwealth Fund. Makeba, this is your last week, as I understand it, at the Museum of Fine Arts. What's the legacy there? What are you most proud of?
Certainly what I just described, you know, being able to walk through the galleries and see palpably more young people of color. It's real. To see more families, to see more 20-somethings, as soon as we reopened, folks were back in here, and that felt really good, and it felt different. It felt different because there's different things on the walls, there's different stories being told. I certainly am really proud of my team, of the folks who had to figure out how to close a museum and reopen a museum, and then we closed another time, and stay really present and also keep it at the forefront, the fact that we want people who can walk to the museum to choose us. And in some ways, I think that the pandemic really showed a light on the fact that, you know, we typically were very comfortable with the idea that we had a clientele that might fly into Logan Airport. And now we have to get really comfortable with the fact that the folks we want here live across the street, you know, or can drive here in 15 minutes. And so I think it's a new day in many ways. And then, of course, in a lot of other ways, there's still some really important work to get done. And I think the last thing I would say is that there are folks here who really want to see that happen. And I hope that I was able to be a partner to them and to mirror some of that for the time that I was here.
Very briefly on that, what's a piece of unfinished business, briefly?
I said this in my Globe article, and I think I'll stick to it, which is I think that the hiring of other people of color here is really important. Representation matters on the walls, and it matters as people who are wearing badges. So
I wonder, is there a person, Makeba, from your childhood, earlier in your career, maybe, if not your childhood, who inspired you, believed in you? And in your mind, what are they whispering in your ear now as you start on this new adventure?
Absolutely. Yeah, my father, and he's probably listening right now, but my father always said to me, you are beautiful, you are intelligent, you are capable of doing and being anything that you want to be, even if you are told otherwise. Never believe that. I think right now he's maybe not whispering so much, but shouting that he's so, I think he's really, really proud of the fact that I am getting an opportunity to work with Black and Brown folks on Black and Brown issues, supporting Black and Brown people. Like, that's the triad that I think for a man from Mobile, Alabama, who came to Boston in his, you know, early years, is really excited to know that I'm going to have the chance to spend my days doing that work.
And in, you know, 15 seconds, anything you want to say back to him?
Oh boy, there's more to come. We have a lot more work to do, and he's probably going to write me a note and leave it on my table when I get home. So I'm sure there's another interview to happen soon.
All right. That is Makiba McCreary, who's finishing as Chief of Learning and Community Engagement at the Museum of Fine Arts and is the incoming president of the new Commonwealth Racial Equity and Social Justice Fund. Makiba, appreciate the time. Thanks. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again when you're in the role.
I will. Thank you.